Mary and Jesus were invited to the marriage at Cana. But let's take a closer look at the invitation list. And we find that the disciples of Jesus were also invited. And this included at least five of them who were named in the previous chapter: Andrew, John, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael. This was, as we're told, the first of Jesus' signs, so we know this was early. If it was the first of Jesus' signs, those disciples had not yet begun to see what was going on. Now, this was not a small wedding. There must have been many people present. Let's take a look at the geography. Cana is only about 6 miles north of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up and Mary and Joseph had lived. And Cana is about 30 miles from Capernaum, which is where Peter's house was on the Sea of Galilee, on the northeast corner of that of the big lake where the fishermen lived. And that was the home of Peter and Andrew. And it was Jesus' new base of operations. So people must have been coming from close towns around, not too far away. And due to the distances involved, the wedding would typically have lasted a few days. It didn't just come for a couple of hours and then go home. It could have taken 2 or 3 days just to travel the distance. And the guests, when they're there, would have consumed a lot of food and drink. And it's not like you have the internet and the U.S. mail system. You put the invitation out, but you don't know how many people are going to show up. We've all had situations like that. And it's likely that the families of the couples had no idea how much to stock in for. Remember, they didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have HEB on the corner. It's not so unusual that they would have experienced running out of wine or food if many people showed up in excess of the number that they expected. And here was Jesus still forming his new band. It would take a while. That's why he took 3 years to form them. It takes a long time to create an apostle. And he was just getting started. The invitation for them to join him may have only been a few days old. We don't know how long he'd been with them. But it was still early. We know that from John saying this was the first of his signs. Now, we learn a lot about Mary here. Mary was the only one who knew the game. She was the only one who knew what Jesus could do. Not the apostles, not the wedding guests, certainly not the head waiter, and certainly not the disciples. They were still picking up. But Mary has this trait. She's really sensitive to the needs of others, to the dignity of this young couple. And Jesus, we hear in the text, acknowledges that this is Mary's concern. It's not his concern. He didn't come to this wedding with his new disciples to be concerned about how much wine they had. How would he have known anyway? Mary picked up on this. And she told her son Jesus, "They have no wine." This is an act of mercy, not by Jesus, but by Mary. What's curious about this whole situation is it was Jesus' miracle, but only Mary knew he could do it. And she had no idea what he was going to do. This was an act of mercy by Mary and Jesus. Mary doing things behind the scenes, out of sight of the couple, doing an act of mercy for this couple that would never know how this happened. So she plays an active role in the intercession of her son. And this is why the church regularly seeks her assistance and prayers. She doesn't tell her son what to do. It's kind of like mom saying to him, "I don't know what you're going to do, but do something." That's what mom said. And he did. He fulfilled his mother's expectation. There's got to be great beauty in that and great mercy. In December, Pope Francis opened the Jubilee Year of Mercy by opening the holy doors of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. If you've ever been to St. Peter's Basilica, if you're facing the front doors from the outside, on the far right-hand side are two doors that most of the time are bricked up. For the Jubilee years, which happens, once every 25 years, they take that stone away and they open that door. The Pope opens it as a pilgrimage destination for the faithful. It's a beautiful sign of mercy because it says the doors are open. In peanut terms in the cartoon, the doctor's in. It says, "You're welcome. Come on through here." It's an act of mercy. And he also encouraged bishops all over the world to have a holy door at their cathedrals all over the world. So all the dioceses of the world in their cathedrals have a holy door that was opened by their bishop at the beginning in December of the Year of Mercy. And for us, locally, if you want to participate in that, go down to St. Mary's Cathedral and you'll see it marked on the outside. This is the holy doors, and we make pilgrimages there. Go there, go to Mass, go to confession. So what is the Year of Mercy? Well, during this year, we're going to be exploring all year long just what is God's mercy. We saw an example of it in this wedding at Cana. And at this point, let's just see how Jesus and Mary view mercy and that first sign that Jesus performed. There was an abundance of wine created miraculously for Jesus, for the guests. Gallons and gallons of choice wine. And you can be sure there was enough for everybody. They weren't going to run out this time. In this sign, Jesus and Mary showed the importance of marriage. And they protected the dignity of the bride and groom instead of exposing them to an embarrassment. This isn't a life or death situation. These weren't lepers. They weren't blind people. They were protecting the dignity of a couple getting married. That's a beautiful sign of God's plan of mercy for those who marry. The fact that Jesus was there is a witness to how both he and his mother feel about marriage. God's mercy is unlimited. It's unconditional. God loves us and he wants to reconcile us to himself. However, there's something very interesting about mercy. Most of the time, we have to walk through the holy doors. If you stand outside the holy doors of mercy, you're not going to get anything. You have to walk through. The mercy is abundant, but you have to get up and walk through them. We must ask for God's mercy. One commentator I've heard mention that the holy door of mercy is the door to the confessional. And I see that to be true. If you've not been to confession in some time, I urge you to go to confession soon and often. I hear that many are afraid to go to confession, and I would urge you, if you've not been in a long time, stop going to Holy Communion. If it's been more than a year since you've been to confession, it's like missing Mass. The Church teaches us to go to confession at least once a year. More frequently is better. But don't let a year go by without going to confession. Personally, I go to confession once a month, or if it's maybe once every 2 months. As I've experienced, when I get to 3 months, I can't stand myself. It's like not taking a bath. Most likely all of you, like me, are in need of repentance and reconciliation. Remember to make a good examination of conscience. Do not permit yourself to convince yourself that, oh, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything seriously. St. Augustine taught that even a holy person sins 10 times a day. The Church asks us to go to confession at least once a year. We should go more frequently. We're going to find God's mercy when we come to the sacraments. God's mercy will admit us to His wedding feast, and He is the bridegroom for us. It's not automatic. It requires something of our part. We have to walk through that door of mercy in order to reach the wedding feast. It's not going to come to us.